Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Van Halen bringing us back one of the pretty riffs of their songs. Some of their songs. That's a good one. 23 after the hour. When it's love, I think that's the name of that song. 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. The world is happy about that. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Scott Arno is our guest, our good friend, longtime brain trust member, the security advocate. Put a .com on the end of that, and you'll find all that he does there. He's also vice president of Soho Solutions. We're talking about your expectation of privacy when you're dealing with legal matters, when you're dealing with the courts, with the local constabulary, with police. Scott, thanks again for hanging out with us and bringing some of this to our attention. So what if I'm dealing with the local constabulary and they want to look at my cell phone?
Well, actually, it's funny you should ask. There was actually an enormous decision on that, which came out.
What would be the reason they would want to look at my cell phone to see if I were texting or talking while as the record's happening or something like that?
Well, Jim, think about what's sitting on your cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, there are call logs. Who did you call? When did you call? Mm-hmm. There could be pictures that are incriminating.
Right.
And there was actually a very large pair of cases which were decided by the Supreme Court in late June of this year, so that's all of about a month ago, in which the justices decided 9-0, and you know how often this court agrees
right.
with itself.
Not much.
Across the board, that law enforcement could not simply look at a cell phone incident to a stop, be it a traffic stop or just a basic arrest, without first getting a warrant. And in those two cases, there were two of them. One was Riley versus California, where a guy was stopped, a teenager, for an expired registration in 2009. Now, the vehicle was impounded, loaded weapons were found under the hood, mm-hmm. and then they searched his smartphone again without getting a warrant, and they found that he had apparent organized crime connections, as well as there was a picture of a vehicle which was tied into an earlier drive-by shooting. Hmm. Now, the thing to realize here, had they gotten a warrant, and they would have been able to get one, all that evidence is admissible. But instead, they just said, oh, hey, let's look at his phone. And they're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
A second case is one called United States versus Worry, which was out in Massachusetts. This defendant was arrested for selling, I believe, two packets of crack cocaine in 2007. Now, he used an old-style flip phone, and, of course, the cops looked at that. They checked the phone logs and were able to determine his home. And from doing that, they searched it. They found more drugs, a loaded weapon, and ammunition, and he's now serving 22 years. Now, I'm not saying that these were the wrong decisions to come to in terms
right.
of those individual defendants, but them just deciding, oh, hey, we feel like searching you.
Right.
And that can happen. And like we were talking about earlier, sometimes a stop can be something where you really didn't do anything. Maybe they look and go, oh, yeah, you look a little bit like the guy you're looking for. And they stop you and they say, oh, hey, your phone, give me that for a second. They look at your phone and God knows what they'll find. And you shouldn't be exposed to that where they have no reason to look at your phone. They go glance at it. They see something, go, oh, hey, we should look at this. Oh, look where this leads.
Uh-huh.
That's what the court says they can't do. There has to be a point at which you can stop. Obviously, if you're arrested, of course, they can pat you down and look for weapons. Their phones hold so much valuable information now relating to...
And
so
this is the new... this is all about the new technology. Yeah, you're right. More and more of us are... I mean, most people would leave home without their wallet and their money before they leave home without their phones.
Yeah, and the thing is...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, we have so much information on the phone now, and honestly, it's going to get a lot bigger.
That's right.
There's a new type of memory chip just coming out. It's something called an RRAM, which is resistive random access memory. Try and imagine a phone which holds about 100 times as much data as it does now.
Right.
That's what's around the corner in about 2 or 3
years.
Well,
let me tell you about our poll. We polled the audience this weekend on my website and in the newsletter. How much do you depend on your smartphone for calling, other than calling and texting?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's one of them was heavy dependence. 63% of our
That number is going to go up, I guarantee
63%
it.
Said either a lot or quite a few tasks.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. Well, as you get more used to it, you start to realize, oh, hey, I can do this on here, too, and I can do this on here, too. And next thing you know, you're holding everything, your address book, your computer, your wallet, and
the point that we're making here, folks, is that you've got technology that could expose not only you as an individual, but your company. What if this is an employee driving your vehicle, and some overzealous DA or somebody? We're not picking on the legal folks. My son's a police officer, Scott. So I'm not trying to hurt those guys. But what I'm saying is there has to be some delineation about where they can go, where they can't go, and the new technology is blurring that line, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I have plenty of friends in law enforcement. I respect a lot of what they do, absolutely. Yep. It's just, in a case like this, absent what are called exigent circumstances, like say there's an immediate threat of some sort of harm, yeah, get the warrant. It doesn't take that long.
Right.
Just make sure a court says it's okay, get the warrant, then do your searching.
Don't be lazy and do it the right way. It's well said. TheSecurityAdvocate.com, right, Scott?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Scott, thanks for being here. Good job. Come back soon.
Always a pleasure. Love to. Thank
you. Scott Arno, ladies and gentlemen. A-U-R-N-O-U is how you spell his last name. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Got a high riding car.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.